Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, MLB edition, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the MLB DFS slate to come on FanDuel. Sean Kane here. I am your host. And in the next hour, we are going to talk Major League Baseball daily fantasy on FanDuel here. We're going to break down the slate. We're going to talk spreads. We're going to talk weather. We'll talk pitching. We'll talk hitters and target stacks that we want to include in our lineups. You know, we'll get a sense of, you know, exactly how we can attack this slate. But before we do that, we always like to take a second, look back, see if we can learn any lessons, figure out what's going on in the world of DFS to try and, you know, become better players, refine our focus, and make sure that our process is right. So let's take a look back at the weekend. One of these nights. All right, so, you know, it was interesting. I am, you know, continuously on DFS Twitter and on the Slack chat with guys, you know, in the Patreon community that we have over here at Lineup Logic and the Cheat Sheet and all that kind of stuff, talking about, you know, lineup construction and takes and ideas and all that kind of thing. You know, and I think one of the important things that you start to see as people are grinding through this season is there's a lot, you know, there's hot and there's cold streaks. And, you know, when you're hot in baseball, you're going to hear people talking about it on Twitter. They're going to feel good about themselves. You want to talk about it because it's hard to get hot in baseball, to be completely honest with you. It's very easy to see the raw numbers, to know the weak spots on a slate, to know the places you want to attack, know how you want to build, be consistent in your process, but then you just wait. And you have to wait for your bats to perform. And, you know, your arms are very linear. Now, if you're making mistakes on your arms, you're probably taking too many unnecessary risks. But if you're making mistakes in your bats, that makes sense. And there's rooms for error in bats. And the thing that I've noticed is I continue to target the right teams. I continue to grab the wrong guys, wrong pieces in a stack. And, hey, you know, what are you going to do? I've also benefited from the opposite of that, where other people are, you know, on a team or on a certain player, and, you know, I find some of the other pieces that they didn't have, and it ends up working out for me. You know, that's going to happen. Point being is that, you know, the variance comes with baseball, and I think that one thing we have to consider is in lineup construction, one of the best ways to reduce downside in a lineup is simply by targeting plate appearances. The more hits, the more walks, the higher whip rate that an opposing pitcher has, the more likely that you're going to see a higher number of plate appearances for that team, a higher number of batters during that game. And, you know, if you think about other sports, every possession in basketball is an opportunity, or excuse me, every 50% of the possessions in basketball are an opportunity for your player to accrue fantasy points in one of, you know, three or four different ways. You know, and if you include the defensive side, then it's 100% of possessions. There's an opportunity for your player to accrue fantasy points. You know, you're talking about over 100 possessions a game. In football, you're talking about, you know, almost 50, 60 plays a game. You know, and your pass catchers may get upwards of 10 different targets. They're going to run, you know, numerous different routes, 30-plus routes that where they have a possibility of, you know, getting open and getting the ball and making something happen. Baseball, those numbers are even shorter. I mean, you think most on average you're going to see is four plate appearances per game in most situations for most batters. Most of the time, those at bats are probably going to contain anywhere from 5 to 8, maybe 7 to 9 pitches. In that respect, you know, and that's on the high side. You know, I bet I could figure out what the average number of pitches per, but my guess is it's somewhere, you know, somewhere below 8. point being is that you don't have the same volume of opportunity, and that's the purpose in stacking. So if anyone is curious, why are we stacking when, you know, you can get more upside from certain different pieces, or, you know, these guys all have home run upside. Well, the reason you stack is because you create more opportunity for your offense. And that's the only way, I think, that we can statistically mitigate downside in a very, very concrete way for the bats in our lineup. So, you know, we want to be targeting gas cans because obviously there's dinger upside, but we really want to target guys also who have high whip rates, who have high walk rates, who are going to be giving up a lot of extra plate appearances to the rest of the lineup. And we want lots of pieces of those lineups because getting your stack, getting everyone five plate appearances versus getting everyone three or four plate appearances is really, really important and really, really valuable because you get that many more opportunities for production. So I think that's just one thing we have to keep in mind is we're stomaching the variance. How do we limit downside? Well, that's one way you do it. And that's the reason why you stack four players from a lineup, you know, and I hope that people understand that, you know, that's it. That's why we do it in baseball, and that's why it matters. So that said, let's go ahead and jump into the games for Monday's main slate. Okay, so Monday, always, you know, a nice day because you have, you know, not an overwhelming number of games on the main slate. You know, you get teams traveling, like stuff like that. And so we only have 10 games on the Monday main slate. And the games start with Washington at Baltimore. Nice little regional matchup there. Washington at Baltimore. And this one has, let me see the run total here. Excuse me. Washington at Baltimore right now projected for... projected for 8.5 runs. 8.5 runs, Washington, Baltimore tomorrow night. Interestingly enough, well, Washington is favored, but not by a ton, strangely. Not really sure why that is, but yeah, that's the case. Not favored by a ton. It seems like they believe that the righties in Baltimore are going to be able to get to Gio Gonzalez. So, you know, not massive favorites in this one. We also have next game of the night. We've got New York at Cincinnati. This game is at 9 runs right now. New York major favorites, negative, getting 150 favorites here. And you gotta like this one. It's Tanaka versus Rookie Davis. So, you know, a very solid pitcher for the Yankees, and Tanaka, who's shown a lot of really, really good starts recently, been very just solid for them, rock solid, if not excellent. And Rookie Davis, who has really struggled with control and getting deep into games. So definitely interested in the Yankees in this one. Kansas City will be going to Tampa Bay. That game is at eight runs there projected in that one, and Tampa Bay favored. And you got to think that it's probably because we're going to see Nate Karns on the mound for, Kansas City. Not a bad spot to target the Tampa Bay bats, but at the same time, Karns, you know, interesting numbers on Karns. It's kind of hard to get a read on him. So, not my favorite stack when we have really obvious, clear options. I think that I'm okay maybe taking some Tampa Bay bats as some salary relief, as they're always a little bit lower priced. You know, don't have to have them in this situation. Cleveland at Toronto, 8.5 runs projected here. Toronto, interestingly enough, seems to be favored, and that is primarily, I believe, because they are going to be throwing Roto Grinders is showing us Michael Balsinger, who is going to be called up from AAA, and one of my Vegas sites is showing me Marcus Stroman. Now, if it is Marcus Stroman, then you really got to like Toronto to be able to limit Cleveland in this one, because Trevor Bauer has been getting hit, and that's really what this line is showing me. But if it's Michael Bolsinger who's getting called up from AAA, then obviously that line is going to move. So interesting. I may go put a little money on that one, gang. Note to self. Weak line. Anyway, moving on. Other games on the East Coast. We have San Francisco going out to the Citi Field, going out to New York City. Big Apple here. 7.5 runs projected in this one. And Mets favored here because they have Mr. Jacob deGrom going on the hill versus Matt Moore. Matt Moore has been fine, obviously. We know that. And the Mets don't necessarily hit righties that well, but Jacob deGrom has been filthy, so we will talk about him for sure. St. Louis getting Miami. This is an interesting series. We're going to definitely have some opportunities to play this series. I don't know that we're going to play it tomorrow night. St. Louis bats would be really nice against Adam Conley, just because he's been showing a lot of blow-up potential recently. But I just... there's nobody against left-handed pitching that I'm really that interested in. You know, I mean, I would love to, you know... Matt Carpenter and Jed Yurko, great, go for it. But they're much better against righties than they are against lefties. So, you know, not terribly interested here. And on St. Louis side, Carmo getting the throw. So definitely interested in Carmo. In fact, he may be one of my favorites here. And then we have Coors. Oh, sweet, sweet Coors. And guess who's going to be in Coors to disappoint us every single night, just like the Diamondbacks did? God, wasn't Coors just such a letdown this weekend? Just a letdown, man. I just, you know, I stacked it up today. I stacked up Arizona today, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who was just like, what the God, give me a break. This is a joke. You know, it was really frustrating. So anyway, Coors was a mess this weekend. It was very unpredictable. The nice thing was the one night when you could stack the righties with Story and Arenado, and you know, they did pretty well. The Cubs did pretty well against Patrick, or excuse me, the Rockies did well against Corbin. But enough complaining. Hey, we got the Cubbies going to Coors Field, which should be insanity. 11 runs projected here. Cubs are favored, of course. They will be throwing Mr. Jake Arrieta. And the Rockies will be throwing a guy who is, you know, more or less one of their best pitchers, Antonio Senzatella. Definitely interested in some one-offs here. I don't know that you need a full stack, because there's certain pieces that are hitting well and there's certain pieces that are kind of cold. And both of these pitchers are decent. So you don't necessarily want to stack it up like against you would against a weak pitcher or gas can type. We also have on the West Coast here, Pittsburgh at LA, 8 runs projected in this one. LA, heavy, heavy favorites. Pittsburgh will be pitching a reliever in a spot start, Trevor Williams, against Brandon McCarthy. Deeply interested in the Dodgers against this weak righty, especially after I looked into the numbers. Also on the West Coast, the Angels at Oakland, 8 runs projected here, and Ricky Nolasco versus Kendall Graveman. You know, two pitchers who are good, not great. And if I wanted to target one of them, it's going to be Nolasco, and Vegas agrees. They have favored Oakland in this one. And last West Coast game of the night here, Texas at San Diego, 8.5 runs projected here. Texas favored by just a touch. Nick Martinez going up against the honorable and venerable Jared Weaver. Well, now, okay, again, this is a discrepancy between Vegas and what I'm seeing on Roto-Grinders. Roto-Grinders showing me Jared Weaver, my Vegas site showing me Trevor Cahill. Very, very different. Very, very different. Texas would be, I believe, heavy favorites if Jared Weaver was pitching, which I I'm gonna trust the Roto-Grinders. Usually they have a pretty good beat on this kind of stuff with the starters. They're following beat writers and stuff like that. And so I'm gonna trust them there on this one. And we'll know more tomorrow. We'll know more tomorrow. But that's it. Like I said, 10 games, some really good ones, a core slate, of course. But let's jump into the player breakdown and figure out who we want to target on this slate. Who do you love? All right, so starting with pitching, I think it's pretty obvious that we want to look at Jacob DeGrom. He's 10-7. He's got the San Francisco Giants here. And, you know, DeGrom obviously has been absolutely excellent in as. He's been especially excellent in Citi Field this year, you know, where he is at Citi Field. He is he has a 12.3 K per nine rate, 32% strikeout rate, and a WHIP of 1.4, XFIP of 3.2, which means, you know, everything is showing us exactly what we want to see here. You know, in general, this year he has a K to walk ratio of 21%, and a K rate of about 31%, especially strong against righties right now. Even though he's given up, you know, more walks to righties, he's hammering them, really, really, really trying to get those Ks against them. So I have no problem with DeGrom against the Giants. You know, the one thing that we don't love about the Giants is they are an above average team when it comes to discipline. That said, they're really not a great offense. You know, they are really not exactly a threatening offense. They are not a team that, you know, you feel like when you're throwing a righty against them, that there's a ton of lefties that are going to kill you. This isn't the Dodgers. You know what I mean? You know, so for me, it's not terribly scary to go up against, you know, the likes of a watered down Giants lineup that just really isn't that scary, especially when you have a pitcher's park. You continue to see the weather in New York be favorable for pitchers. It's just not really that nice, except for Yankee Stadium, of course. And when you look at the numbers on San Francisco, they are currently 29th in the league in WRC plus with 71%. No, they don't strike out like the Rays or the Red Sox, or excuse me, the White Sox or something like that, but they are not really hitting the ball that well. And so, you know, we absolutely have to look at DeGrom here as a guy who not only will be able to get himself deep into this game, but he'll be able to offer that K upside. You know, and frankly, he's going to be able to offer you, hopefully, that quality start, because he's just not going to be giving up any runs, and that's what Vegas thinks, too. So I like DeGrom quite a bit, and paying 10-7 for a guy that I know who's going to get me probably 40 points or more is really, really pleasing. So I'm into DeGrom, no question. If I'm going off of DeGrom, I think it's Carmo. It's got to be Carmo. You know, Carlos Martinez has been very good this year. You know, and I, you know, away from home, not as good. Got to be honest with you, away from home. But the numbers are still really good in general. You know, 10.7 K per nine, 27% K rate, 9% walk rate, 17% K to walk ratio with, you know, a WHIP of 1.3 and an XFIP of 3.3. You know, it's all there. The man is pitching extremely, extremely well, you know, and pitches extremely well against right-handers particularly. And if you think about the power bats in this Miami lineup, you're thinking about, you know, okay, who's going to hurt me in this case? You know, it's going to be Giancarlo Stanton and it's going to be Marcelo Zuna. You know, Marcelo Zuna is a little bit of a, you know, reverse splits guy. But, you know, the lefties in this lineup, beyond Christian Yelich is legit, but, you know, The rest of the lefties in this lineup aren't really that scary to me, and there's not that many righties that scare me beyond those three outfielders. So you get through your 3, 4, 5 hitters, you know, and that's pretty much it, you know? That really is not that big of a deal to me. You know, and Miami's offense against right-handed pitching, you know, pretty mediocre, to be honest with you. You know, 23rd in the league right now, 20% K rate, 6% walk rate, you know, and an WRC plus of 87. They're not really that scary. They're really not. So, yes, there's power, but the power doesn't necessarily worry me that much against a guy like Carmo, who's got really, really good stuff. So I have no problem with Carlos Martinez in this spot whatsoever. I think if you want to spend down, you're probably looking at whoever's going to be pitching for the Dodgers. It's either going to be Brandon McCarthy or Alex Wood. Now, here's the thing. The McCarthy start got delayed because of the rain today, the rain out in the Padres game. Okay. Now, he could get pushed back today, but the scheduled starter for the first game of the Pirates start was Alex Wood. Okay. And McCarthy's got a day-to-day tag with a shoulder injury. So we could very well see Wood. And if we see Wood, I love Alex Wood in this spot. I mean, the numbers have been really good against a Pirates team that currently against right-handed pitching, against left-handed pitching, the Pirates are, yes, they are top 10, but they are, you know, striking out they're 11th in the league. But to put that in context, they still have a below average WRC plus of 99, right? And they have a WOBA of 324, a strikeout rate of 21%, you know, and a 739 OPS. This is not like, you know, the Nationals or the Yankees. There are some teams that are really good against lefties. This is not Pittsburgh, right? They are pretty middle of the pack. Which, you know, obviously you want to target teams that are worse, but I just don't, I'm just not that scared of the Pittsburgh offense, period, in general. Like, you know, I just don't, they don't really scare me. No, they don't strike out, but I think that at this price, I think that it would be really nice to see Wood. Here are some numbers on Wood right now. So Wood has been, you know, very, very solid this year in the first half of the season. 26% K rate, 9K per 9, only an 8% walk rate, and a 3.15 xFIP. You know, particularly good against left-handed bats. Unfortunately, you know, the Pirates don't have a lot of left-handed bats. They're pretty righty-heavy. I mean, they can really run out, you know, 1 through 4 with all those righties. You know, but they do have, you know, they don't have a ton of power. There's not a ton of them that are really that scary. You know, if they can string together some runs against a weak pitcher, then yeah. But this isn't necessarily a weak pitcher, because against right-handed pitching, his numbers very, very solid. 23% K rate, only a 6% walk rate against righties. 90% left on base and a 3.12 xFIP. So, I mean, against right-handed pitching, Alex Wood has been excellent. Now, if McCarthy gets the start, the beauty of McCarthy is that you are throwing a righty against the Pirates, and the Pirates are terrible against right-handed pitching, bottom 10 in the league. And, you know, McCarthy has been really good against some really, really difficult teams, including two starts against Arizona and a start against Chicago, in which he had, you know, 4, 8, and 6 strikeouts. He went, into the sixth inning of a game, and never gave up more than 2 earned runs. So, you know, if McCarthy goes, if Wood goes, I like them both. I think that they are definitely your best source of salary relief in this situation. You know, I think that you are definitely going to get a good situation there against, you know, this Pittsburgh team. And Pittsburgh is pitching some spot start reliever who is brutal. And Trevor Williams, you know, a guy that they just called up. So you not only maybe get the quality start, you know, you get the run support, you get the W. So I really like McCarthy or Wood, depending on who goes. All right, so that's it. We've got DeGrom. Like I said, DeGrom at home in Citi Field against the Giants. Like him a lot. We also have Carmo on the road at Miami. And we have Alex Wood or Brandon McCarthy, depending on who gets to start in this one, at home against Pittsburgh. All in pitchers' parks, all in favorable matchups, all of them should be able to offer us really, really solid floor. Now, these aren't the teams that have the most strikeout upside on the slate. We know that. You know, obviously, you've got some teams with higher strikeout upside. You know, teams like the Padres, teams like the Rays, stuff like that. I just don't know. I mean, are you going to just target those strikeouts? You know, are you really just going to target those strikeouts and ignore the rest of the situation and, you know, and throw Nate Carnes? Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess we could throw Nate Carnes. You know, he did really good work against the White Sox, you know, but if there's something that the Rays can hit, it's righties. They can. They roll out a lot of lefties, you know, and Carnes has gotten worked in a couple starts too. You know, he got worked in the opener. He got shelled, gave up 4 earned runs in that one. In Texas, he gave up 6 earned runs. He gave 4 earned runs in a different start to Chicago. So, I mean, yes, there's some interest in Carnes, but honestly, the White Sox, that start, I don't think is representative of the type of offense you're getting in the Rays. I think the Rays could give him a harder time because they definitely hit righties much better than the White Sox, who are one of the worst teams against right-handed pitching in the league. Now, the other thing to keep an eye on is whether or not Stroman goes. We're seeing a lot of different reports, whether it's Stroman or Bolsinger. I'm not really sure. Stroman would be really nice. If Stroman goes, I think you can look at Stroman as well. He's obviously, we know, Marcus Stroman is a great pitcher, so definitely always interested in the Stroman when he is up there. Now, aside from pitching, let's go ahead and take a look at the bats. And before we jump into the full bat slate, I got to talk about cores here. We have Cubs at Rockies. The Cubs are getting Antonio Senzatella, who's been good. He's been very solid. Nothing about him, when you look at his numbers, stands out as like gas can bad. There's nothing you really want to target him in his splits. You know, I don't see a ton. And in fact, you know, we rolled Senzatella out the other night against the Padres, and he was a great GPP pitcher. So I think, though, we have to think about is, you know, okay, you know, lefty versus righty here. The Cubs lefties are still very good. So obviously, you know, when you look at the Cubs lefties, that is, you know, that starts with Schwarber and Rizzo, you know, and then you figure out who else is going to be in the lineup. Now, the thing about this is the Cubs actually have some guys who hit right-handed pitching even better by the numbers, but in a smaller sample size than guys like Rizzo. I mean, that's a crazy thing to say. But guys who hit, I'll say this, guys who hit righties really, really well. Miggy Montero, Alberto Mora, John Jay, those guys, if they are in the lineup at any point during this series, guys, they're really good spot starts. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, fucking Descalso from Arizona. We're talking about some really solid baseball players. So, you know, these guys are great. You know, John Jay has been finding himself in the top of the lineup. Miggy Montero is a cheap catcher, you know, and Alberto Mora is still, he'll probably be priced up, but he was under 3K this weekend, and he's a very, very good batter. So, you know, yes. Obviously, we're going to look at, you know, Anthony Rizzo in Coors. Yes, we're going to look at Kyle Schwarber in Coors, 100%. But what I'm telling you is you can also look at Miggy Montero, John Jay, and Albert Ormora, who hit right-handed pitching very well. So keep an eye on them also. Now, the Rockies are going to go up against Jake Arrieta, and you may say to yourself, oh, geez, Sean, no way I'm starting anybody against Arrieta. Well, name value alone isn't necessarily representative of the hard contact that the man's giving up. Now, it's interesting. You know, you look at just straight hard contact, DeGrom and Arrieta are two of the guys who give up the most. And that's because, you know, they throw the ball really fucking hard. And if they misplace that fastball, somebody's going to hit it hard, you know, and that's the bottom line. And when you have good pitchers who, you know, normally place the ball really, really well and put a lot of gas on it, you know, it's very possible that there's hard contact there. So, you know, the Colorado bats are good against Arrieta. Obviously, Blackman is an elite spot. I love Blackman in this spot. He's probably my favorite, but I think Arenado is another one that you can look at very, very easily. And Mark Reynolds is scorching hot. Now, we get a different lineup. We see some new looks. Who knows what we'll see? Cargo has been in and out because of the calf injury. Obviously, Cargo could be interesting, and maybe he's priced down because FanDuel's algorithms screw things up when they don't have numbers for people. But who knows? You know, the point being is that by name value alone, a lot of people are going to be scared off by Arrieta. But I think that if you wanted to listen, if you're rolling out a Coors lineup, I don't think it's crazy for you to put two of the best Colorado hitters against righties in your lineup. And so, you know, why wouldn't we look at Mark Reynolds, Charlie Blackman, Ian Desmond, very good against righties as well. You know, and Cargo, I mean, career has been great. Not great this year, but he's a good, damn good hitter. So, you know, I mean, I think that you can roll out these Colorado bats. It's not like Arrieta's going to get shelled, but it is possible that he gives up a dinger or two here. So, and you could get that at low ownership. All right. Now, obviously, the interesting thing is you don't always have to stack Coors. And if you're not going to stack Coors, then there's definitely some high-priced offenses that you want a piece of on this slate. And one of them is Washington. The Nats are getting Kevin Gausman in Camden, which is a park upgrade for them, which is amazing. And we saw how many dingers they hit when they were in Philadelphia this weekend. Unbelievable. I felt like they were going to go, you know, yard at least three or four times a game. And Gausman is just not that great right now. 30% hard contact, 37% fly ball rate, xFIP of 5.82. He's particularly bad against lefties. He has a negative 7 K to walk ratio. The kid just doesn't have any control against left-handed bats. We're stacking the Nats. We're stacking righties. We're stacking lefties. They're stacking all of them, you know. And I think the ones that stand out to me, obviously, Zim, Murphy, Turner, Rendon. And Zim is the one right now with the insane numbers. 534 WOBA this season, 413 ISO against left-handed pitching. Right-handed pitching, which is just bananas. Just absolutely nuts. And I think that if you wanted a sneaky spot, Michael Taylor's been in there ever since Adam Eaton has been out. And he's had some really, really nice games. No dingers, but you know, a number of extra base hits, and the kid has been a part of a really productive offense. So Michael Taylor, keep an eye on him. He is a productive spot there as well. If you want to stack, you know, if you don't want to stack 1, 2, 3, you know, why not stack 4, 5, 6 and get yourself Murphy, Zimmerman, Rendon, and then maybe Michael Taylor in the 7 hole, even, you know, depending on where Wieters is. So definitely interested in the Nats in this spot. I think that you can also look at the Yankees. They're getting rookie Davis. I mean, I don't know why I said I think you can. Like, yes, you have to look at the Yankees against rookie Davis in Great American Small Park. This is one of the best power-hitting teams in the league, no question about it. Against righties right now, the New York Yankees offense is number one in the league with a 132 WRC+. They have a team ISO of 198, an OPS of 831, and team WOBA of 359. This team is raking. Absolutely raking. And a plate, you know, the plate appearances are there. This is not just a fluky. This is not just a small sample size. So Davis's problem is the kid just can't make it into the deep into a game. He's got zero control. His walk rate and his K rate are almost identical at around 13%. So the must-haves for me, guys like Aaron Hicks and Aaron Judge, just crushing the baseball. You know, I think the other piece, you know, obviously Castro, Headley, Gardner, we continue to see those names. Matt Holliday's been really productive as well. Any pieces and parts of this lineup that you feel like you can fit in, you know, if you're shopping for a one-off too, I think any of the Yankees outfielders are interesting as well. You know, and Holliday and Hicks and Judge, you know, it's all there, guys. It's really any of these guys are in play, no question asked. And don't forget Gary Sanchez. He's back in the lineup, you know, and he's going to start being productive soon. I don't know when, but he is. And if you want to pay up for catcher, I think it's very possible, you know, you could throw Sanchez in there and maybe in a small ballpark like, you know, Cincinnati, Sanchez gets it going. So definitely you got to look at the Yanks, you know, I mean, and this is what we're saying, you know, I mean, okay, everybody, fine, you stack cores, but cores can really disappoint. And you're overexposed to it and it disappoints, it lets you down. So maybe you make one cores line. And then maybe you make you use the same amount of money and you stack the Nats and the Yankees, who are in an equally good spot. And, you know, it probably gets lower ownership than the Cubs and Coors, which is just like, you know, a dream spot feels like. But the Nats and the Yankees are two of the best offenses in baseball right now. And they are equally productive, even away from Coors, in great hitters' parks like Camden and Great American Small Park. So, you know, I mean, don't force cores if you can fit in Yankees and Nats. You know, I think that's smart. All right, looking at a more middle price stack here, lower cost, a little bit of a good situation. I think you can look at Texas. They're getting Jared Weaver. Now, I know I saw something here that said Trevor Cahill. If his start gets pushed back, obviously, it's not nearly as good of a spot for Texas. So please be aware, guys, we're stacking Texas when they pitch Jared Weaver. And it might be tomorrow night. But it was supposed to be, it might be tomorrow night. It might be Tuesday night. Depends on whether or not they push Cahill's start back. Okay. That said, if they get Jared Weaver, we know we can stack against Jared Weaver. Texas, definitely getting a park downgrade, but Jared Weaver gives up that magic combo 40 and 40, fly ball and hard contact. And Texas is relatively cheap. You're looking at most guys in like the 3,000s. You know, nobody's going to be over 4K on this Texas lineup. So give me the lefties to start. Give me some of the power lefties. You know, the Joey Gallo, Nomar Mazara, obviously, they're good pieces up there. But I'm also have no problem with, you know, a guy like Carlos Gomez, if he's in the top of the order, Delino DeShields. Odor, obviously, is a power lefty. Sorry, I left him out. When I say power lefties, it's Gallo, Mazara, and Odor. And then, you know, you sprinkle in a couple other, maybe some righties. DeShields is usually pretty cheap, so I like him as a leadoff, for sure. But Joey Gallo is kind of, you know, you can't not have him. Now, the frustrating thing about Gallo is he bats 218, but he has a 359 ISO. So, you know, he's either going to smash the ball or he's going to get out. And he probably is going to strike out. So, you know, not much to, don't want to overanalyze it. Joey Gallo can rake, but he can also really strike out. And by the, you know, like I said, it could be Weaver. It could be Cahill. If it's Cahill, not that interested. Cahill's been excellent. If it's Weaver, super, super, super interested. Give me all the Texas. Now, That said, there's another game in Southern California that's really interesting, and that's the Dodgers game. Dodgers going up against Trevor Williams, the righty. We always look at the Dodgers when they're playing a righty, but we're definitely going to look at the Dodgers when they're playing a righty that they just called up. Good Lord, this could be really bad. His splits against left-handed pitching in 2016 are some of the worst that I've ever seen. He has a 40-40 fly ball and hard contact. Obviously, we love that to start. But guess what else he has a 40% rate? He has a 40% home run to fly ball rate. What? Yes, it's a smaller sample, but this guy gets taken yard really, really hard. Right? That stood out to me as kind of fluky, so I looked into his career numbers. It's just as bad, guys. His left-handed pitching, he just gets smoked. 59% fly ball rate, according to Fangraphs, and his career numbers against left-handed pitching. A lot of medium contact, but this is one of the best lefty stacks in baseball. Tolles, Seager, Cody the Dong Bellinger, Grandal, Jock Jams, Justin Turner, who we know is reverse splits guy. I mean, give me any of them. I don't care. Give me fucking Chase Utley. I don't care. Give me all these jokers. So, I mean, so excited for the Dodgers. Now, obviously, we love the Rangers against Jared Weaver. But hey, if it's all of a sudden Trevor Cahill because his start got pushed back, great, fine. Dodgers, no problem. I have no problem with that. They're a little bit more expensive, but listen to the numbers. Cody Bellinger right now, this kid is insane. Double dong, then he hit a granny. 520, this is crazy. This is obviously a very small sample size for 2017, but this is so fun to read. 528 WOBA, 516 ISO. Woof, amazing. Cade can rake. I mean, here's the other thing. He's batting 350. Like, that's craziness. Justin Turner is batting 400 right now against righties, by the way. 470 WOBA, 188 ISO. Corey Seager, 416 WOBA, 183 ISO. Yasiel Puig, even hitting righties pretty well, strangely enough. Grandal, Peterson, Tolles, all batting above 320. All with ISOs above 160. In fact, Grandal is the lowest of all of them. Everybody else is above 200 in their ISO. So, I mean, this team just hits right-handed pitching so damn well. So, you know, I have absolutely no problem stacking the Dodgers. In fact, now that I say it, I might even like the Dodgers more than I like the Rangers. Because I like the Dodgers. Dodgers always win me money. Dodgers are the kind of team that I just have a lot of faith in, unlike the Cleveland Indians right now. God, I can't get them right. Raise your hand right now if you can't get the Cleveland Indians right. Yep, yep, we are not alone. Okay. I think if you're pivoting, I think Oakland is the way to pivot. Oakland is always a really good pivot. They're always just so inconsistent unless you're Yonder Alonso and you double dong on Saturday night. Yeah, baby. That line cashed, my Yonder Alonso line. And hey, listen, they are hitting righties really well, and there's some really good numbers on Oakland against righties, and Ricky Nolasco is not that good, guys. Like, Ricky Nolasco is not good. In fact, Yonder Alonso has, Yonder Alonso and Matt Joyce have really good BVP against him, so definitely interested in them. Alonso, 437 WOBA, 301 ISO. Chris Davis, obviously the crush math, 403 WOBA, 363 ISO. He just hasn't really been doing anything recently. Just really kind of frustrating. Jed Lowry, very good at just getting on base and staying consistent. He's, you know, he gets a lot of good walks, that kind of stuff. He's not a power guy. You know, and then you kind of have the other meh pieces, you know, the Ryan Healy's and the, you know, Matt Joyce is kind of meh by the numbers, but he does have good numbers against, against Nolasco, and Stephen Vogt, who's been underwhelming to be sure. Like, he just kind of not that exciting this year. So You know, all of these guys are in play. I think Oakland is one of those stacks that offers you really nice salary relief, as always. You know, none of these guys are more than, you know, three. I bet Alonzo's price will go up to 3-3. That's not bad. 3-4, maybe. That's really not bad. So I have no problem stacking Oakland here in this spot at home. That's it, man. I mean, we're so to review, definitely interested in the Yankees, interested in the Nats. Yankees against Rookie Davis, Nats against Kevin Gausman, stacking them up. If you're pivoting off of those, I think that you can definitely look at the Dodgers, and you can look at the Rangers, given you know, who they're going to see as a starter. If it's Jared Weaver, we're stacking the Rangers. If it is Trevor Cahill, we're not stacking the Rangers. It's as simple as that. And then for a little bit of salary relief, you can look at Oakland as well. And then, you know, the one thing I want to talk about for one-off situation is the Toronto-Cleveland game. Now, I joke about not being able to get Cleveland right, but I really can't. excuse me. I really, really do have a hard time getting them right. But they may be getting a guy by the name of Michael Bolsinger. It's hard to get a read on Bolsinger's numbers. They're not bad. He's been in and out. He's made some, you know, starts here. You know, so I think if anything, there are, you know, a couple bats in the Cleveland lineup that can hit right-handed pitching. It's basically Frankie Lindor and Jose Ramirez. Those are the two guys that I'm interested in. Edwin Encarnacion, meh. Lonnie Chisenhall's been pretty good against right-handed pitching. Michael Brantley's been pretty good against right-handed pitching, obviously. You know, there are some spots to go here with Cleveland. I just don't know how much I trust them right now. Now, if they start to cook in this series and they start to really get it going up there in the Rogers Center and they're moving the base paths, then fine. I'll go back to them. But we also might see Marcus Stroman. I'm not sure who we're going to see. Now, on the Toronto side, we can absolutely look at some of these bats because Trevor Bauer has been getting shelled lately. That's, you know, and even Vegas knows this. Problem is the only Toronto guy who can really hit right-handed pitching right now is Kendrys Morales. And he double-donged against Chris Archer, and I was watching that game. And he just owns the man. That's it. It's just that simple. He owns him. So I don't mind Kendrys Morales, but that's about it for me. The rest of these guys, I mean, this team is a team to pitch, you know, hit against lefties. That's it. You know, there are a couple teams right now where the splits are so drastic against righties and lefties. Toronto is one of them. Chicago, the White Sox are one of them. You know, I think that we could possibly look at the at some guys who can hit right-handed pitching in the St. Louis lineup. I also don't mind the St. Louis lineup for salary relief. So if you need some one-offs with Tommy Pham, you know, some of these guys are going to be cheap. And who knows? Their lineup is changing a lot because they have a lot of guys who've been injured. Conley is a lefty, though. Doesn't really put Matt Carpenter or Jed Yurko in play. So we'll see what the lineup looks like in that one. You know, and like I said, I don't mind the Rays in this one against Carnes, but I don't really know how to predict what kind of stuff we're going to get from Carnes. That said, the Rays are much better against righties than, you know, some of the other opponents that Carnes has faced. So if you want to stack the Rays for salary relief, do it. You know, Dickerson, Kiermaier, Miller, definitely, and Morrison, don't forget Morrison. Definitely in play against all those lefties in play against Carnes in this one at the Trop. Plenty of good spots on this slate, so let's head over to FanDuel and let's see if we can get ourselves a lineup put together as a starting place for you guys. All right, so I think if we want to do a DeGrom lineup, obviously, we're not going to be able to get too many pieces of cores in here unless we get some really watered down lineups and a lot of value coming out, you know, which could be the case. You know, in St. Louis, for example, we could get a really, 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 you know, banged up lineup, and they could roll out a bunch of righties that, you know, are really, really cheap, which could be really interesting. But for the moment, I'm going to go off of what we talked about, you know, and I think if you want to do a DeGrom lineup, then for me, it comes with, you know, some stacks that maybe have a little bit of ownership leverage, but also have some upside. And for me, it's a four-man Dodgers stack. Really interested in them. Like I said, they're relatively inexpensive. No one above 4K in a great situation at home here. And then, you know, some Oakland bats to get some salary relief against Ricky Nolasco. And then a one-off here that I'll add. So it's DeGrom, Yasmani Grandal, Yonder Alonso, and Jed Lowry, you know, and that's just salary relief right there. Jed Lowry is a great source of salary relief always, you know, and I mean, no, he's not going to hit you a home run. He's not going to hit you a home run, but he's going to bat in the top of the order. And listen to the last three games that he's put up, 12, 12, 9, and 12. For $2,300 at the top of the order, I mean, that's just really good cash. You know, it's like almost a cash game play, but like, it's also just really safe and feels good when you want to jam in another bat. And the other guy that I forgot to talk about, and I noticed him on this slate, guy who mashes lefties, who's always in the lineup for the Mets, is Wilmer Flores, and they're getting Matt Moore. You know, and Matt Moore, not a bad pitcher, but Wilmer Flores is a lefty masher, and he played this weekend, you know, and had 15 fantasy points in one of his games against Miami and six in another. So definitely has some interest in Flores, who seems to be, you know, getting it moving, getting it going here back in the Mets lineup, you know, and against a lefty, that's interesting. And then you've got Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, Jock Peterson. Obviously, I could also go Andrew Tolles. Jock Peterson and Andrew Tolles are 29 and 3,000. I just, you know, I'll look at the order. If Andrew Tolles is batting leadoff, then obviously I'll probably go with him. It's just wiser. But, you know, there is some power upside to Jock. Jock has, I think, definitely has the power upside. But if he's not going to get the plate appearances, I'm not going to be silly about this. I'm going to take the plate appearances at the top of the lineup. That's just, you know, that's just foolish. And then last but not least, Chris Davis with a K to get that, you know, the best piece of that Oakland stack. So there's power in this Oakland stack. There's a lot of upside in this, Dodgers stack. And of course I have DeGrom at the helm. So I feel good about this lineup. You know, it's almost like a cash game lineup. So guys, if you're playing cash games, this might be an interesting starting point. I'm not a huge cash game player when it comes to baseball, but I think that this is a pretty good starting point for cash games for sure. Now, if you want to get one of those higher price stacks in there, like the Yankees, for example, against Rookie Davis, for example, I don't know if that's something that interests you. It's definitely something that I'm interested in. Then you got to get down to McCarthy or Wood. And right now, FanDuel's listing it as McCarthy, but a lot of the other places that we're seeing are saying Wood, and the manager said that it might be McCarthy might get scratched because his shoulder's bothering him. So I'm going to say that I think it's Alex Wood. It doesn't matter to me if it's McCarthy or Wood. I like them both, and they're both the same price according to what I'm seeing. So 8K there, plug that guy in, boom. And I get my Yankee stack of Gardner in the leadoff position. And then I'm going to get Castro, Aaron Hicks, and Aaron Judge, who both been mashing. You know, so I have a nice solid four-man Yankee stack there. And then, you know, that leaves me with shortstop, third base, and first base. And interestingly enough, that, you know, one of the price points that is really consistent was the Rays. The Rays, you know, I mentioned that I didn't love them against Carnes, but they provide this really consistent pricing, and you know what? They're not bad against right-handed pitching. In fact, against right-handed pitching, they are 10th in the league right now. Yes, they have a 25% strikeout rate, but they have a WRC plus above 107. They have a bunch of bats who bat above 300. So I have no problem with them. And I need a shortstop, I need a third baseman, I need a first baseman. Leads me to Brad Miller, Evan Longoria, and Logan Morrison. Those are batters in the Tampa Bay lineup that from what I understand, are going to be, you know, basically 3-4-6. And that's pretty nice. Three, you know, and Longoria, okay, fine, against a righty. Not huge fan of him against a righty. You know, but he's been playing pretty well. He came out of that Toronto series playing pretty well, getting a lot of hits. So, you know what? I'll take it. I know Evan Longoria is not, you know, the best against right-handed pitching. I know the numbers aren't perfect, but I'd rather have the correlation there with my stack, you know, and take a guy whose career is 308 WOBA with 189 ISO. That's not terrible at all. I don't, you know, it's not anything, you know, amazing. It's not, you know, Aaron Judge right now, but it's really excellent. And it's, you know, it's elite because Evan Longoria is elite. So you're not paying a huge price for him. He's $3,000. I mean, $3,000 for Evan Longoria is not a bad price. The guy can just hit doubles. So that Rays stack plus Derek Norris, my man, punt catcher, you know, get him in there just to create correlation because, Gary Sanchez is too expensive at $3,200 for me there. Now, that said, if you pull all of these Yankees bats out of here, you can very easily replace that with a, you know, you can very easily replace that with a national stack that is pretty straightforward. You get Daniel Murphy in there at second base over Castro, you know, and you grab a couple outfielders. I don't think you're going to have Bryce Harper in there, but you can get Jason Worth and Michael Taylor, and that's going to leave you with $4,900 for an outfielder, you know, which is a massive price tag for an outfielder. In fact, you can, you know, better yet, you just go over to first base, you upgrade to Zimmerman, and you take another $3,400 outfielder, and you can either go to another Rays player, or for $3,400, you kind of, you know, for $3,400 is one of those really nice price points for an outfielder one-off where you feel good about, you know, Christian Yelich, for example, Chris Davis, there he is, boom, Chris Davis, a guy that I'm going to have in other lineups. That's exactly who I would put in there as a one-off. You know, I'm going to have him in other lines. So as a one-off, as a guy who can hit dingers, I love having him as a one-off there. So there it is with the Nationals, right? Okay, so let's see if I can get Coors in here now. You know, obviously the first piece that you really, really want from Coors, if I pull those Nationals out of the lineup, the first piece that you really got to have from Coors is, my man, you got to have Charlie Blackmon. You got to have Anthony Rizzo. Like, those are the two kind of must-haves. And then you have $3,000 for second base and two more outfielders. Now, you can't do Coors with that. You can't do Coors with that at all. So $3,000 for a second baseman, you could do Jason Kipnis. I think that could be interesting, especially if we get that outfielder. You know, maybe you do a little bit of a Cleveland stack. You could definitely do the Texas stack if they are going up against Jared Weaver, you know, Rougned Odor right there. And then, you know, DeShields. Let's see, where's DeShields? How much is DeShields? DeShields, wow, DeShields has got his the price caught up with him. So, you know, maybe you get Odor and DeShields. You know, and that's not bad. That's not terrible. In fact, but let me try something here. Let me see if we get, you know, you got to have Rizzo, you got to have Blackmon. Fine. That's your Coors exposure at a minimum, but you're going to also, maybe you're going to have to find some punts. So let's find some punts out here that we can, you know, throw in. You know, I think you would also probably want, Cargo, if he's out there, we'll see if he goes. I don't know if he's going to go, but let's look up Cargo, what he's at price-wise. Yeah, I mean, $3,400 for Cargo, that's a really good price if he is in the lineup. Maybe you take Ben Zobrist, $3,900, he's really cheap. You know, so you kind of take some of these pairs of Rockies and Rockies and Cubbies, and then you have $2,700 left per player, you know, and you kind of, you'd maybe you try to create some correlation in here. You know, you can get